You know what? I'm jolly.
Guten Abend, mein Damen und mein Herren. Welcome again to the Mo Pod Podcast, coming to you from the basement of the Casa de Mo on a dark, wet, dank, and dreary December afternoon. It's some of the warmest December weather we've seen in a while, but you wouldn't know it. It seems so much colder. It's in the mid-40s right now, but the sun is nowhere to be seen, and it's been raining, so it feels so much colder than it really is. And I hope you're warm, because I am not. On top of the chill, both real and imagined, from the weather, I also have like a perma chill in my bones right now because I did my good deed for the quarter, and donated blood today. It's something I like to try and do as often as I can. Once a year, because that's all I can afford to do physically, I let them do this double red draw, where they basically suck out a bunch of my blood. It swirls around inside of a machine. They separate good stuff from other stuff, and they shoot the other stuff back into your body, pull out some more stuff, and then shoot the other stuff back into you. I'm not a medical man. This is the best I can do for describing this. But it does a very strange thing, because when it shoots back into you, through the same hole, by the way, you get this weird metallic taste in your mouth. It feels cold, like they're shooting ice water into your body. Your lips get all tingly. It's a strange sensation, which feels like love. Well, not quite like that, but usually this is the third time I've done it, and I usually end up having this intense feeling of cold just shoot through my body and stick with me the rest of the day. So I'm drinking coffee, and the kids are all being loud and crazy, and I'm about at my wit's end because there is just so much Christmas cheer around right now, I could shoot myself. I don't know what it is. I'm not usually a real Ebenezer Scrooge, bah humbug, go fuck yourself kind of guy. I love the holidays. I do. I love the overall good mood that everyone is in. I like watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer every year, and I love just that wide-eyed joy that my kids get in their faces and in their eyes this time of year. But at the same time, I want it and everyone to go the hell away. Because what a lot of people don't realize, or simply refuse to recognize, is that there is a dark, seedy underbelly of depravity and ugliness that could rival some of the shit that I've ever seen in my life. Some of the worst shit I've ever seen in my life. And that's saying a lot, because I worked in bars and nightclubs for the last 15 years. Now, because I have 5 kids, and we don't necessarily do well at planning before going to the stores, and because it's really the only game in town, we end up in Walmart a couple of times a week. As a result, I ended up in Wally World this past Saturday, and we were only there to pick up a few things. I wasn't there to do the full Christmas shopping. I wasn't there to do grocery shopping. I had my 2 oldest boys, Heckle and Jekyll, with me. And we actually made it through the store itself in practically record time. Unfortunately, there were like 5 registers open. It's a big Walmart supercenter. There's 30 cash registers and 5 cashiers working. And then they had 3 working machines where you can do the checkout yourself. And it, excuse me. So they only have 5 registers in place. So I'm stuck in line at the checkouts along with 5 other people. I'm like in the middle of the line. But what inevitably happens is that everyone in line develops this deep-seated hatred of the person in front of them. And God forbid if that person in line ahead of you had the goddamn nerve, the gall, to do all of their Christmas shopping, as well as their personal shopping, and if they have coupons, well, they can just go fuck themselves in the ear, can't they? So, you got 5 people in line behind this person. Now, where everything goes strange is that the person at the very back of the line gets pissed off at the person in front of them, basically just because they're alive. It's the same mental process that takes place in a traffic jam, where the guy at the back of the line feels that had the person in front of them never been born, they would be home right there at that moment with their feet up and a beer in their hand. So after 5 minutes of actual shopping and 20 minutes of trying to get through the checkout, I finally get to leave. Now, here's where I really start to lose it. The Salvation Army guy is there outside, ringing his bell, and slowly dying of exposure for the sake of the downtrodden and an organization's homophobic beliefs. Now, I feel bad for these guys, so I try to throw something in the kettle from time to time. I'm by no means saying that you have to throw in, but if you do, well, if you do throw into the bucket on your way out of the store, good for you. But here's the problem. See, I walked into a store one day, and I was in a good mood because the Christmas insanity hadn't fully crept in and pissed me off yet. So I took a buck out, and I had some change, and so I throw it in the guy's bucket. He says thank you, waves, and I go on my way. I go inside, do my shopping, and I walk out half an hour later. There was a shift change, apparently. I didn't know these guys work in shifts. And at the ye old charity bucket, there's a new guy standing there at the bucket ringing the bell. I've already thrown in, so I keep trucking past with my multiple bags of food. Meanwhile, the self-righteous douche that has been standing outside for all of 5 minutes glares at me and scoffs. You know, just suddenly, I feel obligated to validate myself and explain to him that I already threw in. He just scoffs at me again and says, yeah, okay, whatever. And now I have to stop myself from going off and saying something like, fuck you, man. For all you know, I've already been here 3 times this week and thrown in $20 total already. I haven't, because $20 is kind of a lot for me, and I have to go Christmas shopping yet for my kids, and the light went out in the bathroom, so I should probably get that fixed, and you can't always find the cheap light bulbs anymore, so that might cost a little bit extra. And then I got this hole in my sock right where my big toe is, so every time I wiggle my toe, I can feel it poking out and rubbing my shoe, you know, and that's really annoying, so I should probably go buy some socks, too. And I fine, here's 2 more dollars. Merry Christmas, and go fuck yourself. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. No one who volunteers at any kind of an organization should go fuck themselves. But other people who are pricks, they can make it. So, yes, Christmas time is coming. Are you still trying to figure out what to get somebody for Christmas? Why not get them a Kindle? Or maybe they already own a Kindle. You can get them an Amazon gift card. Then what can they do with that Amazon gift card and their Kindle? Well, they can go look up Matthew Mosman on Amazon.com and download one of 2 full-length novels for only $5 or one of two short stories for a mere dollar. You can also remind your loved one that if they have a smartphone and they like to read, well, then they can just go to Amazon.com and then get a free Kindle application for their smartphone, and they can take it wherever they want. It'd be nice. And I'm afraid I have a confession to make. I got distracted by, so many things, and I did not get to, the rewrite completed on my sci-fi book, so it will not be up in time for Christmas, because I suck. And that's just all there is to it. I suck. But it will be coming soon, I hope, once I can figure out what the hell I'm going to do with the damn thing. But we are getting closer. We're getting so much closer. But in the meantime, we still have a handful of chapters to get to in Our Own Devils. Once again, we ran through a couple of chapters last week. We might just go through a couple of chapters again this week, because I believe chapters 30 and 31 are pretty small. And we've only got 40 pages left to go in this big bad book. So why listen to me ramble about how to buy my stuff when I could just read to you? Right? Mike left without much preamble. He just told me to be careful and to call him if I needed him, both of which I already knew. I stayed in the room for a little while. I was paying for a full night's stay anyway. I lay down on the overly hard mattress and stared up at the ceiling for a while with my hands folded behind my head and the lights off. I tried to think, but made a very poor showing of it. All I could see as I looked up at the off-white textured ceiling was Alex. I tried to think of what possible motives Vic would have had for killing her. The answer was easy and obvious. I just had a difficult time staying focused. I'd always had a problem thinking straight when Alex would sit and stare at me like that, with her eyes wide open and her face calm and content, with just the faintest hint of a grin on her lavender-painted lips. She had gotten pregnant. Maybe it was Vic's and not Deshaun's. Maybe it didn't matter whose it was. I didn't know for a fact that Vic and Alex had been physically involved. All I had was Ruth McCollum's statement that Alex had what sounded like relationships problems with a guy named Vic. Alex was obviously still a sexually active woman. She'd been in a relationship with Vic. What if it hadn't gotten that far, though? Mary Sinovic had told me they'd practically made her a member of the family. What if Vic had taken it another step further, more along the lines of Applegate's obsession with her? Perhaps when Vic had threatened Applegate away, it had been not out of her request, but out of his own need to have her to himself. He may have then become so obsessed with that the news of her having another man's baby drove him mad. It was thin as hell in a stretch, but at least it made me feel better. I drifted off to sleep with Alex staring peacefully down at me. My cell phone rang. I awoke with a start and half sat up by propping my elbows up underneath me. I was in that kind of thin fog of confusion that happens when you wake up in a strange place. I looked at my watch. The hands lit faintly by the iridescent film all new watches had then. It showed 10:30. I rubbed my eyes as I opened the phone and answered it. "Connolly," said the voice frantically on the other end. "Yeah. Yeah, who's this?" "It's Deshaun, man. Where the fuck are you, man?"
I'm in Omaha."
My exact location wasn't important.
"Why?"
"I'm in jail, man. I'm under fucking arrest."
"For what?"
I was wide awake now and sitting straight up.
"Murder. They think I killed Alexandra."
"Jesus Christ. Why would they think that?"
"I don't fucking know, man."
He was trying to sound calm, but I could tell that he was scared.
"The cops said they got some kind of anonymous tip or some bullshit."
"All right. Just try and stay calm. What's the arresting officer's name?"
"I don't know. Hold on a second."
Then, with his mouth away from the phone, I heard him yell,
"Hey, fuckstick, what's your name?"
Faintly, I heard someone call back,
"My name's Detective Jeff Carey, and you better watch your fucking tone there, son."
"Son? Did you just call me son? Do I look like your fucking kid, motherfucker?" he shouted back.
"Deshaun," I yelled into my phone.
Shut up, damn it, and listen to me. All right, man, I'm all ears. Have they questioned you yet? No, the guy just showed up at my house with a couple of cops and fucking arrested me. Okay, they'll be taking you in for questioning soon. Have you been Mirandized yet? Isn't that dry cleaning or some shit? Christ's sake, Deshaun, did they read you your rights? Yeah, they did all that. Alright, do you have a lawyer? No, I ain't got no damn lawyer. I don't need one either, because I didn't fucking kill him. You should fucking know that. I do, but I have a feeling that it won't matter. I'm going to make a few phone calls and try to get a very nice woman to come out there and help you, okay? Is she hot? No, she's my ex-wife. I hung up. It took over half an hour to track Lauren down and convince her to drive to Lincoln immediately to help Deshaun. I didn't try to be cute on the phone. I knew that Lauren wouldn't be amused. I'd hoped that the severity of the situation would be enough to compel her into action. Thank God for her sense of professionalism. With Deshaun's situation somewhat handled, I went home. I didn't have anything better to do. I left the card keys to the room on the dresser and left the room almost as good as new. I even managed to keep out of the minibar. I was hungry, but all I really wanted to do was get home. I could always make a sandwich and go to bed. Did I even have anything at home that was still edible? If not, there was bound to be some place that would deliver. I picked up a 6-pack of beer and a small package of beef jerky on the way, just to play it safe. When I got to my apartment door, there was a business card wedged between it and the metal frame. It was one of mine. On the back, a note was scribbled in a man's handwriting. Meet me at McKenna's, ASAP. I swallowed hard as I stuck the card in my back pocket and tried turning the doorknob without unlocking it. It turned easily and I opened the door, letting it swing open all the way before stepping inside with Deshaun's Glock in my hand. There was no one else in the apartment and almost nothing appeared to be disturbed or out of place. Until I stepped into my office, that is. My file cabinet had been jimmied open, and Alex's answering machine and the extra copy of the message were gone. I stood in my office with gun in hand and stared at it for a while before eventually putting my beer away and driving to McKenna's. Normally, any visit to McKenna's would have been a good thing. It had been one of my favorite places to eat at or enjoy a beer around town for years. The music was always awesome, the beer selection was fantastic, and the food was excellent. This time I had no idea what I was going to expect. I sat in my car staring at the building for what felt like an eternity. There was someone inside who wanted to talk to me. But who was it? They somehow knew about Alex's answering machine. That had seemed to be the only thing missing from my apartment. I doubted that Applegate would have had the moxie to break into my place and to try to find the machine. Also, what were the odds that a guy like Applegate would be able to jimmy the lock on a file cabinet? Before that had been my front door. I hadn't seen any marks on the door, so whoever broke into my home was either very good or was lucky and I'd left my door unlocked again. No. The guy who was in my apartment knew what he was doing. And he was waiting for me inside of McKenna's. I'd come this far. No point in chickening out now. I walked into the bar, passed the doors to the restrooms, and stood at the front counter where customers paid for their food orders or purchased the restaurant's different shirts that the wait staff all wore, and I stared out at the place. The tables on the main floor and the stools up at the bar were all full. No one seemed to notice or care that I was there. In time, one of the servers broke away from a table after serving several beers to a group of businessmen and came up to the counter.
Mac, hi! How are you? You haven't been in for a while.
Yeah, I said as I scanned the crowd. I've been pretty busy lately.
I guess. Hey, there's a guy who's here waiting for you.
I tried not to swallow too loud.
He's been here waiting for a little while. Follow me.
I hesitated for a brief moment before I did. She led me around the short wall that separated the cash register and counter from the rest of the bar down a short hallway that led to an emergency exit that was lined with booths on each side. Most of the booths were empty, save one near the very back. In it, with his back facing the wall so he could stare down the hall, was a man with a rather large build and a mullet. Steven Sinovic. The waitress led me to the empty spot across from him and set down a menu before smiling brightly and walking away. I slid into the booth carefully, my entire body tense and almost shaking. Sinovec hardly acknowledged my presence. He was focused on a plate of hot wings. McKenna's did have some of the best wings in town, after all. He sucked the meat off of one end of a small drumstick and tossed it carelessly on the plate before him, then sucked the orange seasoning off of his fingers. About damn time! I almost didn't think you were going to show up. I'm on my third plate of these things. Care for one? Help yourself. He nudged the plate toward me, but I ignored it. I was starving, but I didn't want Sinovec to see my hand shaking. No? Suit yourself. He took another wing for himself and began eating it. Let's get down to business, shall we? I know who you are, and it sure as hell isn't Chuck, or whatever the hell it is you've been trying to call yourself lately. And you know who I am. I nodded. Good. We also both know that you've been paying some visits to my house and talking to my wife. That needs to stop. Or what, I said, my voice sounding surprisingly even and calm. He just smiled as he chewed on some chicken meat. What about Alex? What about her? He said with a dispassionate shrug. She's gone. Is it sad? Of course. Tragic? Perhaps. Is it something we should just put behind us? I think so. And so should you. I slowly shook my head. No. I can't do that. Vic looked at me carefully, his face blank as he studied my face and slowly chewed. Why not? It's done. The police have her killer in custody, haven't you heard? I nodded. Let's not play coy here, Vic, I said, adding a little bit of spite and venom to his name. We both know that Tashawn didn't kill Alex Pine. How do you know? Vic said after a moment. His face and tone told me he was serious. Seriously, how the hell do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that he didn't kill that girl? You don't. Let's not kid ourselves. That fucking nigger and no goddamn saint probably deserves to be in jail anyway. That doesn't make it right. That isn't justice for Alex. Sinovec laughed softly to himself and shook his head at me. Justice? There's a hell of a concept. What the hell's justice anyway? You know, Alex told me you had this streak in you. Vic saw the expression on my face change slightly. Oh, yeah, she told me about you, all right. She told me you had this tendency towards the melodramatic and whatnot. How you like to almost sensationalize even the most trivial of things. I find it kind of boring, but she must have found it endearing, I don't know. He saw me shift in my seat slightly, and he smiled. It bothers you, doesn't it, to know that she talked to me about you? It's kind of disturbing to know your dirty laundry's been aired in public, isn't it? It's even worse to have some wannabe detective sticking his nose in your business or to have him in your home invading your privacy. The smile was gone from his face now. Let's just get down to brass tacks, as the saying goes. This little investigation that you think you're running? Yeah, that's done now. The Stoner Black kid is going to go down for it, and that's it. Understood? I shook my head and said, I'm pretty sure I can add some reasonable doubt to that. Sinovec smiled. What? That little answering machine message from Applegate? What about it? It doesn't mean that he killed her and you don't have the machine anymore. I made a recording, I said, content with my own cleverness. He shrugged. Most people were rarely appreciative of my cleverness. So what? Like I said, it doesn't mean he killed her. What makes you so sure that recording will hold up anywhere? Oh, by the way, I've already spoken to Mr. Russell Applegate. I don't think you'll be able to count on him for anything now. I doubt you'll even be able to find him around town for quite a while. What you have to remember is that he works for me. He, like a lot of other people in that town, does what I say. Do you get me, Mr. Detective? It's all done now. Time for you to let it go and crawl back into your bottle, understand? And if you don't, I'll probably have to kill you. That didn't work out so well for you the other night. But I know better now, don't I? Vic stared at me hard for a moment while he wiped his hands on his napkin before tossing it on the table and standing and walking toward the main exit. Did you know she was pregnant? I said as he started to walk past me. He paused for a moment before nodding quietly and then continued on. I remained in my seat, staring at the now empty space he had once filled with my heart racing. I didn't turn around to make sure he was gone. I just kept my gaze forward until I was certain that he had gone. Then I leaned forward and propped my elbows on the table and held my head in my hands, trying not to cry. He was right there. The man who had killed the only woman I had ever loved. Why hadn't I done anything? Why didn't I get my phone and call the cops? What in the hell was wrong with me? I shook my head clear and tried to breathe deeply and easily. No, there was nothing that I could have done that would have done Alex or me any good. I'd wanted to do something that would rattle someone's cage. Well, I did, but what did it get me? The only connection I had to anything was Applegate, and now he was in the wind. Sinovec had pulled his strings now, and those strings were... Wait a minute. There was something that Vic had said that suddenly sounded off in my ears. What you have to remember is that he works for me. He, like a lot of people in that town, does what I say. Suddenly, I wondered who else in Lincoln that I knew did what he said. There you have it, folks. Chapters 30 and 31 of Our Own Devils. Things are spicing up. We're getting near the end. 30 pages to go before we're at the end of the book. Now, there's a little bit of a question that to be placed before you, the listener. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be ready to move on to another book. Would you like me to start reading from the crazy sci-fi book? Or would you like me to start reading my bar book, which you can find on theamazon.com? It is called Time with His Fools. Once again, it is not autobiographical, nor is it semi-autobiographical. It is just somewhat inspired by my experiences behind a bar in these past 15 years. It's available for $5 on amazon.com. Chime in with your opinion. What you need to do is go to Mopod Podcast on the Facebook, or you can email your opinion to mopod@live.com. Once again, if you're on the Facebook, become a fan of the page. Stay up to date. I don't post on that very often, unlike my Twitter and my Tumblr and my actual Facebook. But please, if you're interested, click like on that and stay up to date with the meager ramblings. And please let me know how you consume the Mopod. Does it get embedded on somebody else's page? Do you go to the Podomatic site? You just play it straight off of the Tumblr or the Facebook page? Let me know. I'm curious. Once again, thank you for tuning in. If I don't get a new episode put up next week, because of drinks and such with friends over the holiday, I bid you Merry Christmas, and I will catch you later.